I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jeff Goodman covers college basketball for Stadium. Lots to get to with him. Let's talk some Tigers with Jeff Goodman.
Anytime Jason and John talk Tigers on 92.9, it's presented by Papa John's Pizza and South of Beale.
Jeff Goodman, you are on the air in Memphis, Tennessee. How you doing?
You know, you didn't get me on to rip on me for my ranking, my number 25 ranking of the Memphis Tigers, did you?
No.
That's what I'm afraid of. I don't want to have to hang up on you, John Martin.
No, I don't think so. The reason why I will actually, because we were actually talking about that right before we brought you on, you had Michigan in the same poll, number one. So can you just sort of explain your logic as to what, you know, how you rank teams?
It's actual normal person logic, okay? I actually go by the results on the court and not the name on the front of the jersey. That doesn't matter to me. I don't care how much talent you have, how good we think you are, and the greatest example is Michigan State, right? Everybody had them preseason number one. Well, that's paper rankings. It doesn't mean anything once the games start. And Michigan, to me, at the time that I had them at number one, had accomplished more than any other team in the country.
Right.
I jumped them that high because, frankly, Louisville hadn't beaten anybody at that point. So I had Louisville at number three. But when you looked at Michigan, they had beaten North Carolina and Gonzaga and Iowa State, who's not that good. But those two teams, we can probably agree that they're two top 15 teams, Gonzaga and North Carolina, on a neutral court, and Michigan hadn't lost. Now, I knew they were going to lose last night at Louisville. It's at the Yum Center. I think if the game was played in Ann Arbor, it might have been a different ballgame. Maybe it wouldn't have been. But I think Michigan earned that number one spot based on what they had done on the court. And in regards to Memphis, which it's fine. Like, I understand Memphis fans getting pissed at me because I'm not moving them in or out of that number 25 spot until James Wiseman gets back. I'm not. We ranked them in the preseason in the top 15 or 10 or wherever. I think I had them about 10 largely because of James Wiseman. Right now, they don't have James Wiseman. So, yes, I dropped them. I dropped them because they don't have Wiseman. And, frankly, the resume isn't all that impressive anyway. So you could have them at 25 right now with James Wiseman because the one loss was to an Oregon team now that I have ranked around, I don't know, 17, 18, 19, somewhere around there. Granted, it was in Oregon. So I think it's fair right now to say that Memphis, who does not have James Wiseman, is probably about 25. That's probably where they deserve to be.
Now, Jeff, you said that you're not going to move Memphis in or out of 25 until James Wiseman.
That's wrong. All right. That's probably wrong. Because if they beat some teams,
they beat Tennessee next weekend, you have to move them up.
Fine. Yes, absolutely. Based on what they've done. And then I'd probably move them up maybe higher than most people would think because – they're doing it without Wiseman, and then maybe I give him another kick when James Wiseman comes back onto the court.
That's fair. Now I will say, like, they don't just not have James right now. I don't have any real issue with your logic, honestly, right now.
Because it's logical. You can't. You're a logical human being.
Yeah, I mean,
not as logical as Jason, but still somewhat sane.
Right.
So it makes sense, doesn't it?
I think so. I mean, it
might go a little higher, Jeff, just because I get they don't have the bad loss that a Kentucky and a Duke has, and, you know, they've come through in all those. And then Precious, for the most part, with Wiseman out, has looked like a lottery pick, had 40 and 22 combined against NC State Ole Miss. I might, you know, maybe 20, something like that, 19.
Right. Yep. But we're kind of splitting hairs on
maybe
it.
A little bit, because
the major point is this is not Memphis.
The Memphis they will be with James Wiseman.
This is a temporary iteration of Memphis.
Right.
We're
taking out the number one pick. I mean, listen, we're taking out perhaps the number one pick out of the equation, and not for like two or three games. If he had been suspended for two or three games, I probably would have said the hell with it. I'm going to keep them where they are. He'll be back soon. It won't matter. They're playing the Sisters of the Poor anyway. But ultimately, they're without him for an extended period of time. So I felt like it was the right thing to do to kind of bump them back down. And then again, if they win, if they beat Tennessee or play Tennessee tough,
right,
and stay in the top 25, then Wiseman comes back again against some of the Sisters of the Poor in the American Athletic Conference. Mm-hmm. I'll bump them up in a few more spots closer to where they were.
That's the only thing I ask, just for the intellectual honesty, because, I mean, they did beat an NC State team. I know you don't think very highly of NC State, but they did beat an NC.
Okay.
They beat an NC State team, yeah, on a neutral site with no James, with no, that's a top 50 KenPom, yeah, team. They beat Ole Miss here in Memphis with no James, no Lester. That's a top 70-ish team. You know, so all I'm saying is that when James comes back, you just have to bump them up, you know, to a pretty high margin, a pretty high degree.
I mean, again, yes, it depends on kind of what other teams do. But, yes, I think that's probably going to be the case, where I bump them up another five spots just from getting James Wiseman back onto the court. Now, again, if they lose to Tennessee and they lose to UAB,
UAB, that ain't happening.
UAB, we're
you don't have to worry about that one.
Jeff, if they lose to UAB, they're shutting down the program forever.
You got a big one against Jackson State on the 21st. I mean, that listen.
Look, Duke lost to freaking Stephen F. Austin, okay?
Stephen F. Austin's good. Stephen F. Austin's good, man. They're good. Look at that program, what they've done. Duke also blasted the hell out of Michigan State.
They did do that last night.
They balanced it out.
Wow.
That leads me to my next thing. How disappointed are you in Michigan State? And I know that, you know, he tends to do this early in the season. Yeah. They come back, and by the tournament time, hell, they'll go on a Final Four run. But Cassius Winston, all of them, I've been pretty disappointed. What say you on Michigan State?
Two things. One, Cassius Winston isn't Cassius Winston. And we got to remember the fact that the kid lost his brother a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and how much has that affected him? Maybe not even during games, but
sure,
practicing, everything. Just life, right? Life. He's not the player. He has not looked like the player that we thought he'd be, number one, and rightfully so. Number two, they lost their second best player, Josh Langford, like a week or two before the start of the season.
Yep.
So, I'm not ready to write Thomas Hoh off, because I think all of us are too smart for that. They're going to be back in the equation. But right now, I took them out of the top 25 because, yep, frankly, they don't deserve to be there. They lost to Virginia Tech on a neutral court. Virginia Tech, to me, is going to be a bottom third ACC team this year. So that's the one that I said, all right, you don't deserve. You get blown out by Duke at home. Not good, but it's still Duke, right? You lose the first game of the year to Kentucky on a neutral court. Okay, Kentucky's not great, but they're still Kentucky. But when you lose to Virginia Tech in the neutral court, you're gone.
I think that's why people can't argue with you on Memphis, because you've got Michigan State out. Most rankers, right, because of the name on the front, going to have them in, Jeff. So if you're going on what they are today, I think that's why most people can't pick much of a bone about you with you on Memphis too much. Not too much there. How about Juwan Howard, the job he's done? And what are they? Are they elite? I mean, or are they more of what we saw, you know, last night against Louisville, who handled them pretty easily?
Somewhere in between,
okay,
right? Somewhere in between. That was a tough matchup in Louisville. They got off to a bad start. They couldn't make shots. Louisville did a really good job on their wings, right? I mean, that was the biggest thing. They really did a good job on their wings, making sure that Livers and their other guys couldn't get easy looks. So, and the other thing is, it's a pretty quick turnaround, right? You're down in the Atlantis.
Just were.
You know, you played on what, Friday? Come back probably Saturday, you get Saturday, Sunday, and then you got to leave again for Louisville on Monday.
Yeah.
So quick turnaround. I don't think they're, again, when I put a team at number one, I'm not saying they're the best team in the country long term. I'm saying they deserve the number one spot at that point in time. I don't think they're the number one team, but I think they're going to be somewhere in the hunt, because they've got a really good point guard in Xavier Simpson, who didn't look the part last night. They got a really good big man in John Teske, who missed some bunnies last night, but was still pretty good, and shooters around him. So, and they're four juniors and seniors in the starting lineup. So, give Juwan Howard credit. Listen, I didn't think they'd get off to this type of start. But again, maybe he inherited a good team from Beilein. He inherited some good players, but he deserves the credit for. And he's so different than Beilein. You got to understand, his connecting to the players, I bet they really like this because, you know, Beilein's 70 years old, probably didn't have the same type of relationship. You talk to Juwan Howard for like 3 minutes, and you're just like, wow, this guy, and I've heard it from so many people around him and in the NBA, like the highest character guy who's just like, you know, fun to be around, always smiling, where again, Beilein was a hell of a basketball coach, but they had completely different personalities.
Yep. We are, of course, talking to Jeff Goodman, covers college basketball, all levels of basketball for Stadium. He is on Twitter at Goodman Hoops. Nobody thinks higher of Georgetown basketball than you, John Thompson and Patrick Ewing included. What do you think is the end game here? I mean, this is a really bad look. And honestly, this is sort of, you know, if you were in favor of Memphis hiring Penny, this is something that you had to consider because Patrick Ewing is one of the most famous alums of that university, and it doesn't seem to be going very well. Not that they'd make a change now, but what's the end game at Georgetown? Because the trajectory does not appear to be pointing up.
Yeah, you know, Big John won't even talk to me. He won't even look at me. I went up to him a couple of years ago in the Garden, and he wasn't happy because I think he felt like I got his son fired. Listen, Patrick Ewing, I was skeptical like I am with all these former NBA guys that have $100+ million in their bank account, right? But I think there's a difference between Ewing and like Chris Mullin because from what I hear, Ewing does work. Mm-hmm. Now, was I ready to say like some other people 2 weeks ago that I don't even remember who it was, but I remember hearing somebody who was just heaping praise on Patrick Ewing. Great coach, done an incredible job. And I'm like, what are we looking at here? Like mm-hmm. he's 0-2. And get to the NCAA tournament. And oh, by the way, like they don't have a team that they didn't beat Duke. They just lost to UNC Greensboro at home. Right. He hasn't really done anything yet to warrant that. Again, decent job, but Georgetown, as I say, and people will disagree with me, I think it's a top 20 job in the country. I really do. I think the only negative, there's probably one and a half negatives. Number one, you got Big John, you know, standing over the program,
yep.
right? And dealing with that, nobody wants to deal with that. And that's part of the reason they couldn't get a big-time coach when they fired JT3. And really, Patrick Ewing was not their first, second, third choice. And number two is they play at the Verizon Center, which is too big. It's an NBA arena. But that program's got everything you'd want. I mean, everything. You get kids in. You can keep them in. Unbelievable practice facility. A million players in the area. So it's a good job, really good job. The big question with this whole deal, and I don't know how much you've talked about it, but James Akinjo, their best player, asked to leave. Mm-hmm. He asked to leave because, frankly, he was kind of frustrated with the program altogether. Not his role, but according to my sources, more of kind of the winning culture that he felt like maybe was lacking there. And now you got three other guys who have all been named in different court documents. Temporary restraining orders by two separate women for these three players because of assault, because of theft, and whatnot. So one of the players is gone, and the more I've looked into it, the more I think that player, Josh LeBlanc, asked to leave. I don't think he was kicked out. I think he asked to leave, and what happened was this all got out there. People did their due diligence, reporters or whatnot, and found some of these documents by doing searches for James Akinjo and Josh LeBlanc. And people now, I think, feel like maybe they threw LeBlanc out. But why would Josh LeBlanc be gone and the other two players, Galen Alexander and the other freshmen, are still with the program? I don't understand that. So it's still a kind of an ongoing process right now. But ultimately, it's a bad look for Georgetown in many different ways, off the court certainly, on the court with the fact that now Patrick Ewing looks like in year three, he does not have a team that's capable of getting the NCAA tournament and will go into year four no further along probably than he was this year.
Yep. Freshman nationally, who you've been the most let's take Wiseman to the side. I've heard you talk and say how highly you think of him. Just nationally, who you've been most impressed by freshman-wise?
Vernon Carey. Listen, when I saw Vernon Carey on the AAU circuit, I was like, all right, he's your typical Jahlil Okafor, right? Below the rim, the game has changed. You know, I don't feel it. And then he's been dominant. And I think he's more explosive. He's not an above-the-rim type guy, but he runs the court way better than Okafor did when he was in college at Duke. Can't score on the post to the same degree as Jahlil, but can still score it. He's big. He's strong. He rebounds. And you know what he's got? He's got a point guard who gets him the ball. Like, that's what we all forgot about is Trey Jones is a guy who will get him the ball. If you post and you seal or you're running the court, which he does extremely well, Trey Jones is going to get him the ball. So Vernon Carey, to me, maybe based on my expectations of him too, has clearly been the most impressive freshman for me.
You know, we watched him because it was the matchups with Wiseman, where Wiseman would struggle against him, and Vernon Carey was dominant in those matchups, and he's been that guy all season long. I agree with you for Duke. I agree. He's
been dominating. Just surprising, right? Like, I don't think we saw this coming, but he's been Duke's he's been Duke's best player. And again, you need to have, if you're a big like that, like, here's the difference. Isaiah Stewart, his numbers are similar out in Washington, who's big, strong, probably more talented, more athletic. But the difference, he doesn't have a point guard.
He's got
Quade Green. He's got Quade Green and some other guys that can't get him the ball where he needs it. So if you're a big and you don't have a point guard, you're in trouble. And if you're big and you have a really good point guard who knows how to get you the ball and use angles and get it to you where you can score or, again, run in the court, man, it makes life so much easier.
And the last one I got to ask you about, because the Grizzlies are going to be choosing between these guys, you figure. Just your thoughts on Anthony Edwards, and how tall is that dude? What do you think about him at the NBA level? We saw him. He was phenomenal in Maui. What do you think about Anthony Edwards? How tall is he? Is he 6'3 or 6'5?
I was with him about 2 weeks ago, maybe, right before I went to Charleston. And I saw them play Georgia Tech at home and stood next to him. And I said, like, with his hair, he's every bit of 6'5".
Okay.
You know, no doubt. With his shoes on, he'll measure. He is a straight two-guard. He's a straight NBA two-guard. Now, I know Tom Crean's playing him at the point, but he's not a point. He's just not. He's a two.
Yep.
He can attack. He's big. He's strong. He's super athletic. He could shoot the three better than – so, like, when you listen to what I'm saying about him overall, you're saying, like, this should be a no-brainer for Memphis if they could get him, because it's exactly what they need to play alongside Ja, and you got Jaren Jackson down, you know, on the front line. He'd be perfect.
Jeff, you're the best, man. We appreciate
Thank you,
the time,
brother.
As always, man. Thank you.
No, good to be on, and we'll talk soon. And don't lose too much money playing poker, Ja.
No, you don't have to worry about that. That doesn't happen with me. Appreciate it, Goodman. Thank you, man.
Thank you, brother.
You got it.
Yep.
Later.
Is Jeff Goodman. Covers college basketball for Stadium.
You heard he's 6'5".
I like that. I mean,
So your small backcourt argument gets thinner?
Well, as long as he's 6'5 and not 6'3", you know how that goes.
Again, I haven't made my decision here. But
you have made your decision. You've already submitted that thing.
Most
October
recent mock
15th.
Had the Grizzlies with the decision between Wiseman and Edwards.
That will be the decision.
It could very well be. If LaMelo goes number one of the Knicks, can you imagine?
Election
and that being
2020.
A bust, it would just be so Knicks.
Cast your vote.
It would be so Knicks for LaMelo to be a bust and that not to work.
No doubt.
And then, you know.
No, they can have LaMelo.
And so today, though, you're still taking Wiseman number two as opposed to a 6'5 Anthony Edwards that you just.
I'm taking James right now.
A one-man show.
I'm taking James right now. Yes.
Okay, and I'm on the other side right now. I mean, we both reserve the right to change.
Okay.
What about you, Brad? Break the tie. You Wiseman, ain't you?
I have been listening to you talk about Anthony Edwards now for a month, and I think you got me convinced. And I think it's almost a tie with talent. So if I look at the tie with talent, Jaren's sitting there, and you got to just hope he gets better and rolls into that thing. You got to go with the two guard. If you call it even.
6'5"?
Yeah, if you call it even and he's 6'5". Now, if we see Wiseman and he just... I think he is going to be electric.
There's some out of sight, out of mind to this with James.
No, I get that. I get that. When he comes out and he's a monster, I think I may go, whoa, the talent is just so overwhelming you can't miss that.
Mm-hmm.
But we need a two-guard so badly that if we miss on a great two-guard, that's a strike. That's bad.
This
you got to get
dynamic,
it.
Man.
Yeah, and we don't have anybody who's really great. I mean, Dylan's great.
That's true.
I mean, Dylan's good, but this guy could be a superstar.
No, that's true. I mean, the Grizzlies do not have a proven scorer on the wing right now. I mean, that is a fact. So,
big debate we're going to be having.
It definitely could be. It definitely could be a big debate that we have.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.